Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Okay, speaking of gross things to eat, they're working on growing meat in a lab based from human DNA, I guess. So they're making like human steaks.
Is this for cannibals or just for people who want to?
It's for people. It's called clean meat or in vitro meat. It's supposed to be better, obviously, for the environment and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to kill anything. You just grow it. But I don't know why they're using human stem cells. I have a problem with that. But they think it's going to catch on.
Well, I'm sure they do. I'm sure it's really expensive. That's so gross.
Would you ever eat a human ribeye?
I think I'd go with the filet, number one.
I have standards.
I would definitely try it because I'll try anything.
You would try a human?
Oh, yeah. Would you?
Maybe. I don't know.
If everybody's talking about it, you gotta try the human.
You gotta try the human.
I would totally try it. But nobody's gonna be able to like get past it. I'm on the human diet. That's so bad.
Yeah.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Ladies, welcome back to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I really am super pumped that y'all listen to me talk into a microphone in my closet. This is episode 136, and I am talking to Kitty Slattery. She's had such an interesting career, both as an author and also a ghostwriter. And I got to ask her why ghostwriting, because I would want my name on my work, but maybe I'm just kind of a jerk like that. She has grown children, so I always love hearing the perspective that I so greatly need from those moms. We talk about so many interesting things in this. Like, part of what God used to draw her to faith was a really unfortunate incident that happened in her Sunday school class as a child. She talks about what it was like to walk through an eating disorder when there wasn't really even a name for it. And one of my favorite things that she shared was the way that God drew her to himself, using, of all things, her interest in fortune telling and Ouija boards and all that. Just another example of how God literally can use anything. He is so smart. Kitty recently wrote a short devotional for kids, and the topic is questions that kids have for God, and they're actual questions that kids would ask. It's a great resource. I love it. I use it with my kids, and I'm excited to bring her story to you and tell you about her resources. Before we get started, though, I wanted to remind you that what you heard at the top of the episode was me and my sister being me and my sister. That is just a tiny sneak peek of the Struggling Sister segment that is available for supporters of the podcast on Patreon. So Patreon is basically a way for you to contribute to people who create content that you love. And people who support the Mom Struggling Well podcast get additional Mom Struggling Well content. My sister and I, if you haven't noticed, have a fantastic time together. But we also want it to be something that benefits you and is entertaining but also helpful. So we have a lot of fun things that we're cooking up to provide for our Patreon people. So if you are interested in hearing more from the show, or if the show has just been something that you have enjoyed and you want to help me turn this into like an actual job, we would be super pumped if you would join us over there. Go to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell. And then every time that we do something extra, it will just pop right into your podcast feed. You don't have to keep going back to Patreon. It'll just be additional content that you automatically get that nobody else hears. Okay, one more thing. This is for the Mom Struggling Well marketing department. I need you to consider this idea that just like came to me in the middle of the night, and I knew it was something that I needed to share because it's pure gold, okay? So spring has sprung. It is still so stinking cold, at least in Texas, but I'm also a complete baby. So when it's like 60, I'm like, woohoo, it's so cold. I have to stay inside. Anyway, so this is what you do. Your neighbors have planted flowers. I have a neighbor who planted, I think he said 1,000 tulip bulbs. He does it every year. I asked him, how much does that cost? And he would not answer. So anyway, I'm not going to do this to him because he might call the cops, but take your neighbors who have like regular old flowers from the Home Depot that were like $3.99 and pull off the flowers. I know that just seems like destruction of property, but pull the flowers off. Spell out "Mom struggling well" on the sidewalk. You may need to get like some super glue to glue them down just so that the wind doesn't blow them away. I just really feel like it could be a beautiful picture of how lovely this show is. I think that the whole neighborhood would benefit. And I think that if you do in the middle of the night in a black hoodie, that might be best. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and jump into my conversation with Kitty Slattery. Good morning, Kitty. How are you?
I am great. And Emily, it's just great to be on your program, and I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm excited to have you on the show. Will you do me a favor and tell everybody a little bit about yourself, your family, what you do?
Well, I work as a writer, and I've had a long career with Guidepost Magazine for, about 40 years now.
Wow.
And I've written many books for children and adults. That's what's brought me here to your program today.
Okay. And then do you have children? How many children do you have?
Yes, we have two wonderful children. I have a daughter and a son, and they're both grown now. And the exciting event in our family's life is our, after being married 7 years, our daughter and her wonderful husband have adopted a little boy from China.
Oh.
And his name is Sebastian, and we have just all fallen head over heels in love. And also, it's a fresh reminder of actually so many things about being a mom. I know with our children when they were younger, the love, you know, that mom love that came bubbling up really took me by surprise. And it's happened once again with this precious grandson. And
so this is your first grandbaby?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So good. I
love
that.
Very excited about it. Yep.
Now, is Sebastian an infant or is he a little older?
He turned 3 on January 1st.
Okay.
And our daughter and son-in-law were in China over Christmas, and that's where they officially adopted him. They were there for about 2 weeks. So they've been a mom and dad for not even 3 months yet, and they're doing a very great job, though.
That's great. We adopted our daughter when she was 2. So
is that so? Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And she would wander off because I forgot I was a mom and she was already walking.
Yeah.
And so it's an interesting like crash course in parenting too.
Oh, absolutely.
Parent a big kid.
Absolutely. You're a brand new parent. It's just that it's not a newborn. It's
yes.
A child a little bit older. But
already sleeping through the night, potty trained.
Yes.
So that was kind of awesome.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Which helps.
Oh, man. I love it. Okay. So can I ask you, as a grandparent, was there any wondering how you would feel about a child that was adopted?
Not too much, but what it did remind me of, again, going back to our own children, I remember we had Katie was our firstborn, and then we had our son about 3 years later. But I remember when I was expecting our son, I worried, literally, I would worry that how could I ever love him as much as I love our daughter?
Yeah.
You know, where will that love come from? I literally...
You just didn't expect to love him that much?
Right. Actually, we didn't even know whether it would be a boy or girl. I just worried that we would not... how could I love this child as much as Katie?
Yeah.
But then sure enough, when he arrived, there it was, you know, this eternal wellspring of love that, you know, really took me by surprise. You wonder about the love. Where will it come from? Will it be there? And, you know, I heard other grandparents describe, you know, it's like being a parent. You kind of have to have experienced it to really understand it, that
yeah.
quality of love. Likewise, and that is indeed what happened with our little grandson.
So good. I remember when we had 4 hours notice that there was a baby for my son.
Gosh.
He was adopted and we didn't know. And so I was finishing up nursing school and all of a sudden we were trying to move to another house. And,
oh my goodness.
And all of a sudden there was a baby. And so I was in the NICU at the hospital trying to finish my nursing, you know, studies and everything. Anyway, and it was days had passed and my whole life was turned upside down. I was very happy about it, but I had forgot to even invite my mom to come see the baby. And she eventually, like 4 days later, was like, would you mind if I come see? I was like, oh my gosh, like, yes, I'm sorry. I just,
Everything was. Yeah, and you forget, like, I don't know. I've never been a grandparent, and I didn't occur to me that she was really wanting to come see the baby.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
No, it's terrible. It's terrible. I've learned my lesson. Listen, we all have a ton of photos. One of my best friends, her phone is always so jammed up with photos that she can never take a picture. My photos take up most all my storage as well. But we all have our favorites. I just took one with my family on the adoption day where we celebrate our kids' adoption. We were standing by a wall and it's just a fantastic photo. And I am definitely turning it into a canvas from Canvas People. I even know where it's going to go in my house. Canvases from Canvas People are great for your decor. The prints are like pieces of art. With Canvas People, you get your favorite memories printed so you can cherish them. You get beautiful prints that look great on any wall. If you haven't already tried Canvas People, you're gonna love them. I have a special code that you can use to get an 11x14 Canvas People print free. This is a $69.99 value. All you do is pay shipping and handling. So to get your own 11x14 Canvas People print for free, just visit canvaspeople.com. Upload your photo and enter the special code MSW. This is a special limited offer for today's listeners, so go to canvaspeople.com today and use code MSW for your free print. So you said you write for adults and also for kids?
Yes.
That's so wildly different. Like, which one do you prefer?
I don't really have a preference. They're all kind of wonderful, each in their own way. I know for Guideposts, in case listeners aren't familiar with it, is a monthly inspirational magazine founded, gosh, about 70 years ago by Norman Vincent Peale. And it features true first-person stories by people from all walks of life for whom basically faith in God has made a positive difference. The stories don't all have happy endings, but there's always that message of God's presence, God's love, and God's ability to redeem even perhaps the most difficult and challenging situations. So for Guideposts, most of my stories for Guideposts are, well, they're personal, so they're about my own faith journey, a lot of stories about being a mom. But when I write stories for other people in the magazine, I ghostwrite them for the person. So that's a lot of fun, because when you ghost for someone, and a Guidepost, it's a pure ghost. It's not as told to or with, because we don't want that name of the professional writer who helped the person tell their story to get in the way of the experience. It's like acting, you know, in the sense of like you really want to be that person and be their voice. And then what's wonderful about Guideposts, different from many other publications, is once the story is met with our editor-in-chief's approval, then it's returned to the subject for them to go over with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that they're absolutely happy with it, because it will appear with their name as the byline.
How interesting. And so nobody, you get zero credit.
Zero credit, but it is so worthwhile. And it's very, very exciting, very fun, because you can serve as the voice for, you know, men, women, old, young, celebrities, everyday people, people from all walks of life, literally. So
I love
so that's
that.
Fun.
That feels a lot like parenting in general, just like no credit,
point.
But all the work.
Right. There you go. Yes. So, and then I've done a few books that are collaborations with adults. So they would be books for adults. And so they're ghosting, but you call it collaborations, or it says with, or as told to.
Let me ask you, what about that appealed to you? Or did you set out to be a ghostwriter? Like, I feel like so many people want to be the biggest font name, but not the tiniest font name. So talk to me about that.
I think that what appealed to me, my major in college was something called mass communications, which is a very common major now. But when I did it, people said, what? What's that? So anyhow, I worked for 4 years with a company in their advertising and PR department. But I did a lot of ghosting then. Like, I wrote speeches for the company president and wrote for the company magazine and so on, and interviewed people in the business and wrote their stories for them. But my dream was to go to New York City. And that's where Guideposts editorial offices were located. And my faith was very important to me. And so it was just sort of a match made in heaven when it turned out that I could make a living sharing these powerful, true person stories for how faith makes a difference in a person's lives. Because I think, like what you and I are doing right now, it's when we share our stories with each other, and especially moms with each other, we realize that we're not alone. You know, mm-hmm. we all are in this together. We all have struggles. We all have ups and downs. And that's part of life. One of my big recurring themes and so much of what I write is just that, you know, being a human being, it's not easy. It can be wonderful and exciting and beautiful and good. And it can also be, you know, many, many times as part of being human where life is hard. It can be very, very challenging, but we're not alone with each other in that case, but also God.
Yeah. How has it strengthened your faith?
I think that we all find that perhaps it's when we are struggling the most that we are closest to God. That's not an encouraging or happy thought, but actually it isn't. It is encouraging. And I think it's because as Christians, I mean, the most beautiful thing is that we have a God who understands. He's been there. Mm-hmm. He was fully human. He knows how hard it can be to be human. And he's with us and he understands. Also, when it comes to struggles and all, over and over, you know, you see how God can take something very, very difficult and turn it into something incredibly beautiful and good. He doesn't cause suffering, but he can redeem it in the most wonderful way.
So unexpected.
You just reminded me of something. I'll share a little bit about my personal faith journey.
Yeah.
Growing up, it was two loving parents. Back then, you'd call us culturally Christian, you know, but not big churchgoers. And I remember mom and dad, they dropped me off at church. This was eighth grade, but the Sunday school, there was a teacher who shall remain nameless, very well-meaning man. And I remember sitting in the class and he said, none of the stuff in the Bible was real. It's myths. And I went home and I said to my parents, well, you know, mom and dad, if this isn't real, why should I go? And they really had no good answer. Mm. But I remember mom said, well, you got to do something constructive on Sunday. So I became a candy striper and that was a lot of fun. I worked in the snack bar at the hospital and that was really fun.
Okay.
So anyhow, at the same time, I started getting involved with a Ouija board, astrology, that interest in things that are, quote, spiritual.
Yeah.
It had nowhere to go within a positive, light-giving, Holy Spirit-based realm. So I became all involved in that, you know, and I think of all the time I spent in that. And long story short, just cutting to the chase, when I went to college, I had an eating disorder that was becoming full-blown. I was taking classes in philosophy and all those things, and I really worried about it. I really despaired of meaning in life. I knew I had this eating disorder that didn't have a name at that time. I thought I was talking about feeling alone. I thought I was crazy. And now it's bulimia is what it is. I mean, everybody knows what that is now.
But they didn't. Nobody talked about it.
It did not have a name. Anorexia had not even been coined yet.
Well, let me ask you, though, did you see a connection between your concern about the meaning of life and your bulimia? Like, were they related at all? Like the searching that you were doing?
Yes, I felt like what was needed was healing. I had a deep need for healing regarding this part of my life that I thought was that I was crazy, the eating disorder.
Did you know anyone else who had an eating disorder?
I remember hearing that there was another girl in another dorm that did this thing called throwing up. And I never spoke to her. I didn't know her. But I thought that's sort of interesting because I did think, oh, there is someone else. But it wasn't really helpful. And I think when I heard about it, the way in which they spoke of the girl was, oh, you know, that is so awful and weird. And so all it did was make me more concerned and ashamed and all that stuff.
Okay.
But there was a spiritual healing that needed to happen, too. And so as it turns out, there was a group on campus called Campus Crusade for Christ. And now I think I remember going to some meetings and I really liked the kids and they weren't dorky or anything. They were fun. And what I really loved was the message. What happened was I was just hearing the story of Jesus, who he was and why he came to planet Earth and how he could be a transforming power in my life. I had never heard any of this before. And what I really liked, how all these Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in the most specific and miraculous and cool ways in the New Testament. That little aspect, you know, that spoke to me. So at one meeting, at the very end of one meeting, there was a little film strip and, you know, it must have been again about who Jesus was and why he came to planet Earth and how he could come into my heart. And it ended with this prayer. And I prayed the prayer. I said, you know, God, if you're real, come into my heart and live in me. And so I remember the next morning, just vividly, I woke up and I looked out the window and it looked to me as though it had rained outside. The world just looked fresh and clean, and it hadn't rained outside at all. Mm. But it was just something had happened in my heart. I've been hooked. I've been reeled in. And when I look back at it now, I realize I had on, it's like these glasses of faith. Thank the Lord, they are. I'm wearing them now, or I got reeled in like a fish, and I'm still hooked. I am hooked. Right. And actually, that's when, you know, I was doing the major call, mass communications, and I remember sitting in my dorm room, and a newspaper article caught my eye, and it was a religion writer for the New York Times, and the point was just simply like, you can make a living doing that. Mm. And so I thought, I want to do that someday.
That's so neat. I love how God connected your interest in fortune telling and things like that with the prophecies being fulfilled.
Oh, Emily, the point I was going to make, how God could take something that was not good and turn it into something beautiful and good, is that Sunday school teacher that I had in eighth grade. What it created in me is this whole desire to do the opposite of what that Sunday school teacher did. I taught fifth grade Sunday school for a million years, but I started every class by putting on the blackboard these three important things. God is real. God loves you. And number three, he has a unique purpose for your life.
Yes, I love it. I want to tell you about ButcherBox. They deliver healthy, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage-breed pork directly to your door. ButcherBox carefully curates the finest selections and cuts and makes it a breeze to pick your own delivery. You get to build your own box and choose exactly how much and what you and your family will love. I love it because it's convenient. It's kind of like your neighborhood butcher, but it's delivered right to your door. You get to choose how frequently it's delivered, and each box includes recipe cards and tips and tricks to create quality meals. What's different about ButcherBox is that the meats come from humanely raised animals that are never fed antibiotics, hormones, or fatty fillers. My family loved our ButcherBox. This may sound silly, but I get a little squeamish when it comes to raw meat, and I don't like picking it up at the store. I inevitably get gross juices all over my hands, and then I gotta keep shopping with a bunch of raw chicken nastiness on my hands. None of that happens with ButcherBox. It's super convenient just to open the door, and there it all is, packaged and frozen on my porch. So for free bacon, who doesn't love that, and $20 off your first box, go to butcherbox.com/MSW. Enter MSW in the promo code spot. So that's butcherbox.com/MSW, coupon code MSW for free bacon and $20 off your first box. Listen, we all know that moms are a form of superhero, right? We know because we are living that dream. But Mother's Day is coming, and we are not the only moms on the planet. Did you know that? Did you know that we all have moms or mom-esque figures in our lives? They need some love on Mother's Day too. My mom was a single mom, and she killed it. I can hardly be a married mom a lot of times, and she was fantastic. So I need to tell you about a way that we can bless our moms this Mother's Day with Pro Flowers. Moms deserve more than just one day of celebration. I'm pretty sure that you all will agree with that. When you send your mom Pro Flowers for Mother's Day, she's guaranteed to have at least 7 days of fresh, beautiful flowers. Right now, my listeners can send 100 colorful blooms with a free glass vase starting at just $19.99 plus shipping and handling with the promo code MSW. So ProFlowers has obviously fresh flowers, but guaranteed delivery and unique vases and accessories. ProFlowers has everything you need to get your Mother's Day shopping done for all the moms you know. So you choose the delivery date you want, and it's guaranteed. You can even have it delivered on Mother's Day, which is May 13th. I used to work at a flower shop, and Mother's Day is bananas. But ProFlowers is on it, and they will get this delivered for you. The only way to get 100 colorful blooms with a free glass vase starting at $19.99 is to visit proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone on the upper right-hand corner, and use promo code MSW. That's ProFlowers.com. Flowers.com, coupon code MSW. I'm staring at your book here, 365 Bible Answers for Curious Kids. And I love knowing the backstory that you had a question that was answered not well and not correctly. And it led you down a whole nother path. You then took that and did a 180 with it, but that you're inviting kids to ask questions. And, yes. I'm just going to share for the people who don't have the book. There's great questions. So it's a 365. There's one for each day. And it just starts off with a question. And they're great questions like, why do we put Jesus fish on our car? And why is Jesus on some crosses and not on other crosses? And what am I supposed to do if church is boring? And is it okay for me to write in my Bible? And all these things that kids actually want to know.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, it's so good. And then there's verses, and then there's tiny little prayer at the end and a place to go for more information out of the Bible. I just think it's really good and very captivating for kids, and it helps them foster, my questions are welcome. My questions are good. It's fine right. that I don't know everything. I love it. So thank you for this.
Yeah, that's very important what you say regarding asking questions. I know one of the questions for one of the days in the book is it okay to question and sometimes have doubts about God? And the answer is yes. And this is because God loves it when his children ask questions. And questioning God is not unbelief. It's a sign of a healthy, curious human mind. So that's why I really encourage young readers to keep asking God questions. Because God loves their curious minds and seeking hearts. And, you know, and no matter what our ages are, we're all like that early believer who cried out, you know, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So yes. And also, you know, if you're asking questions, you're communicating. And
yes.
Again, what makes Christianity, it's so unique. What makes it so different? It's not just a philosophy or a religion about God, but it really, you know, it's that relationship. It's relational. It's about a relationship with God. And so, you know, the more time you spend with God, the more you get to know and love him.
But can I ask you, some people really feel like they need to be very formal with God. Yeah. They almost like they don't want God to know that they don't know all the answers or that they do have doubts. Did you ever, when you first became a believer, have that like formality, like you have to get dressed up before you pray, kind of, you know, how did you kind of break that down to where it's okay to not know, just for the mom who feels like, I can't let my kids know that I don't know, like, I don't even feel like I can go to God and not act like I know.
I remember when my father passed away, I was very despairing. He died at a young age. I was living in New York. And anyhow, I remember crying out to God about my father. And I said, oh, Daddy, I miss my father so much. And then I thought, wait, why did I call God Daddy? And then shortly thereafter, I learned when Jesus prayed, he prayed Abba, which in his native Aramaic language means Daddy or Papa. His relationship with his father was that intimate and personal. And just think how with our children, think of our babies when they're babies and all, how intimately we know them. And that is just how intimately our Father God knows us. Oh my gosh, conversation is where it's at. Conversationally, yeah. Just to cry out and tell him how you feel and let him know you're angry or let him know you're frustrated or let him know you're hurting or that you're weak or that you're scared. We do not need formalized prayers. Just talk to him as your loving father. And that's the other thing too. If you know, that can be hard for some people. If you haven't had a good relationship with your earthly father, that can cause problems sometimes with understanding how God can love you.
Yeah. But like you said earlier, he can turn any suffering around. So even
he can.
Not having an earthly father, through talking to him, it can be changed, you know? So that's really good.
And regarding the whole issue of suffering and everything, I had a very good friend who was a hemophiliac.
And if you don't know, that means your blood won't clot.
And then through all these blood transfusions, then he became HIV positive as well.
Yeah.
And point being, he was someone acquainted with suffering, but it was, and he had a person of great faith also. He's the person who said, you know, in our culture, when it comes to suffering, when it comes to trials and struggles and so on, well, especially pain, and it's supposed to be bad and nothing good can come of it. But he said that he just believes so strongly that God does not cause suffering, but he does have the power to redeem it. He has the power to turn it into something beautiful and good. Of course, the biggest example of that is with Jesus.
Yeah.
how they, it's the ultimate example of something awful, the worst,
yes,
being turned around. Oh my gosh, then there was the resurrection, then there was the ascension, then the arrival of the Holy Spirit. But in that darkest, darkest hour, Jesus's mom, oh my gosh, can you imagine how Mary felt?
Yeah. And we think 3 days, we think that's no big deal,
yeah,
but that must have been three really long days.
Oh gosh.
You know what,
yes,
I mean?
Yes,
hard,
yes, yes.
Hard, hard.
The other fruit that all of us, with whatever things we go through, when we go through struggles with our children, you know, and they can be hard to share about because you might feel like, oh, you know, it's not, doesn't reflect well on me as a mom or whatever. Mm. Of course, we can do that with all kinds of any failings in our life.
Yeah.
There's a tendency to not want to share them because you're ashamed or you're afraid of what other people will think or it reflects on you poorly or whatever. But the truth is, when we share our struggles with other people, we realize, again, number one, we're not alone. And also, what we all gain is compassion because we've been through that ourselves. That is this fruit that happens no matter what. So if you have a child that's really struggled, you can have compassion for other moms that are struggling in whatever way. And
yeah,
and again, if you get together and you open up and you share, it can be very, very healing. Oh my gosh.
It's true. You just have to be brave enough to go first.
Yeah.
Teamy Blends is a healthy lifestyle company that has all kinds of really high quality teas and other products that are really good for your body. We, even if we're trying our best, cannot avoid all the toxins in our environment and in our food. Teamy Blends has a detox pack that I've been doing, and it's just two different kinds of teas. You take one in the morning and one every other night, and they really help you metabolize your food and help you get all the toxins out. I'm not going to go into too much information, but I have used these like detoxifying teas before that are like supposed to help you get rid of bloating and stuff. Sometimes they're so harsh that it's almost like you're getting ready for a colonoscopy, if you know what I mean. I have not experienced anything ridiculous with these teas, but they're working, but they're not making it to where I can't leave my bathroom. So Teamy Blends is giving Mom Struggling Well listeners 15% off of their orders of $29.99 or more. Go to Teamy Blends, that's T-E-A-M-I, blends.com, and enter coupon code MSW15. That's teamyblends.com, coupon code MSW15. Okay, so how would you advise a mom who is maybe new in her faith or just doesn't feel like very confident that she knows the answers to her kids' questions? That could be a thing that would make you want to kind of not encourage that or foster those questions because you're afraid you don't know the answers. What would you encourage a mom to do?
I think, first of all, regarding being a mom and regarding children's questions and their little faith journey and your role in it, I think the first thing to do is just relax.
Okay.
Just relax. Because faith, as a wise person once said, it should be as natural as breathing. And that is how it is for children. I think they come into this world hardwired to believe in and trust and love God. It's for children, faith is as natural as breathing. So I think, so that's the number one thing would be to just relax. And I think that if you have a question that you don't know the answer about, something that can be very fun that happens is often your child can teach you.
Okay.
So that's something that can happen. But if you have a question and you don't know the answer, feel free to just be honest and say, gosh, let's ask our pastor or priest or minister about that, or, you know, I don't know. And you can share that with the child. So, okay. And I think one really fun way to grow in faith with your child is to pray with your child. It's never too early to start that.
Okay.
Never. And it's so fun. You know, you can start with you can always do the Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, but also you can just do the conversational prayer. Or if your child has a difficult day or whatever the issue may be with a little one, say, well, let's talk to God about that. Let's pray. Let's pray together about that. And in a conversational way. But I think that what I found most interesting is the questions that children ask about God, they are not very different from the questions that adults ask.
Mm.
We're all asking the same questions. So
I love that.
In the book, 366 Bible Answers for Curious Kids. The reason there's 366 is because of Leap Day,
okay,
which has its own special question and answer. One of my favorite aspects of the book is the index in the back. some people use it as almost as a table of contents. So it's topical and it's fascinating. You know, it's really fun. So you might find in the index that specific question that you or your child might have.
Yes.
So
it is a really good list. It's organized very easily, you know, to get to the, it's really, really good.
Yes.
Okay, so your kids are grown. They've left the nest. What,
yes,
if you could impart some wisdom, just like one piece, to a mom who is in the trenches right now, how would you encourage her since you've got this whole different perspective?
If I could do one thing a little bit differently with my kids, is this is getting a little further ahead, but I think that growing up these days isn't easy for kids, and kids need faith. And we're now living in this age that actually, you know, historians and theologians are calling it this post-Christian age. And it can be a jungle out there. You know, there's secular humanism, there's moral relativism, there's political correctness. There's a popular culture that's quite brutal. Mm-hmm. And for kids, I think it's a harsh cruelty of social media. You know, it's like ancient Rome, thumbs up, thumbs down, and all the, you know. And the culture has a tendency to measure a person's worth by their achievements rather than just who they are. And as parents, I think we can do that too. And if I could look back and even going back to the elementary years and so on, like, you know what, if you're not on that travel soccer team, that's okay. Or if you didn't get in that gifted program for art or whatever, that's okay. I just love them unconditionally. And going way back, one of the best interviews I ever had for Guidepost Magazine, it was with Fred Rogers. And
Mr. Rogers?
Mr. Rogers,
yes. I love
him. Yes, I love Mr. Rogers. And anyhow, I met with him and he had his puppets in a brown leather briefcase and he whipped them out, and he had the most wonderful story regarding his grandfather.
Did he talk to you with the puppets?
Yes, initially it was X the owl and
just
Daniel
you and him
tiger.
And the puppets.
Yes.
Why did he bring the puppets?
I don't know. I guess he carried his puppets with him wherever he went.
Okay.
And he was just lovely, and he was as kind and gentle and wonderful as he is. He was the real deal, you know. So as I'm sure y'all no, he ends his program, every program, where he says, there's no other person in the whole world like you, and I like you just the way you are. And I think that, and then he has this other wonderful poem, It's You I Like, and some of you may be familiar with it, but it's where he says, you know, it's you I like, it's not your toys, they're just beside you, you know, and whether you're old or new, it's you I like, and it's just you I like. And so I think that message of unconditional love is so key, and not so much achievements and things, and that's easy to do as a parent, I think. There's an old saying that the loudest voice a child hears is the voice of his or her parent. And this is so true. And it is amazing how our children, you know, they really do believe and take to heart what we tell them. So it's like a double-edged sword. That's again, being a parent is not for the faint of heart. And we make mistakes and so on with these words that we say. And of course, we can always apologize and so on. But again, with this idea that the loudest voice a child hears is the voice of his or her parent, I was reminded of that the other day. The language that accompanies holy baptism, we're promised that our baptized children are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Mm. I just think that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. And it's a phrase that I continue to repeat to my kids, even now that they're grown, to remind them of their Christian identity. So just the other day, our son was visiting, and after visiting, and as I waved goodbye, I said, remember, Brink, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. And he was like, yeah, Mom. And he rolled his eyes. Yeah, I know. You know, and I thought, he knows. So again, for this mortal, flawed, ever anxious, ever praying mom, you know, this was not only good news, it was really the best news I could ever hope for. Yeah. Mm. He knows. So our children, they believe what we tell them. So that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, that's true. And that we're communicating even when we don't mean to. Like, I tend to be really achievement oriented myself. And so
yes,
I know that I've unknowingly communicated that's yes. where value lies, you know? So,
yes.
So we are almost out of time, but I just want to ask you one more question. What is something you can't stop talking about these days?
Well, it is that grandson of ours, I must say, in all his cuteness. In his future, and you know, it is amazing the hopes and dreams that we have for our children and likewise for our grandchildren. So he's in my prayers constantly, as are his parents. So I can't stop thinking about that.
That's great. Then
there's another thing that this is something just a little bit different, but we have only recently moved to New Hampshire, and we used to live in a town on a very busy street with a sidewalk and cars going by, and we have recently moved to New Hampshire. And right now I'm looking out the window, the yard drops down and there's pine trees, and in the distance I see a beaver pond, and I could see a beaver lodge. My husband and I, we are planning to get up at sunrise one day soon, because then we get to see the beavers busily at work. And it's just beautiful. So I am really reconnecting with nature a little bit.
That is so exciting.
Yeah. So
Yay.
There's that.
I love it. Well, Kitty, thank you so much. This was such a fun conversation.
Emily, thank you. Thank you for your listening ear. And thank you for your awesome ministry and program, and for the very good and important work that you're doing for moms.
Thank you.
For moms struggling.
Yes.
Well.
And sometimes not well.
Right.
Okay, ladies, I hope that you enjoyed that. Let's talk about some strategies to struggle well based on what Kitty said this week. I would encourage you, if you've got a kiddo who has a lot of questions, and I'm not sure what kid doesn't, Kitty's new book is a great resource. You can head to momstrugglingwell.com/podcasts, find this episode, and the book will be in the show notes. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher and you want to adopt what Kitty does at the beginning of all of her Sunday school lessons, just to clearly lay out some truths at the start of the lesson. I think that's so good. Maybe you have a history in some of the darker occult type things. And I know that from friends that I've talked to who have that as part of their story, it can feel almost like you can't get to know God. But I think Kitty's story about how God used that very practice and her interest in those things to bring her to himself. Ladies, there's nothing that we've done that puts us beyond his reach. And so if we're believing that, it is just straight up lie. So maybe this week you struggle well by stopping believing that lie. Maybe you are struggling with your relationship with food. Maybe it's an eating disorder like we've all heard about, but maybe it's not quite that cut and dry. Maybe you just kind of need to figure out what is the right way to think about food. What's the right way to think about wellness? How should a Christ follower think about beauty? Maybe you don't even know if God cares about what you eat. Maybe you think he cares so much and he's really mad at you every time you have some chocolate chips. So registration is going to open pretty quick here for the June Wellness Revelation group that I'm going to go through with about 20 girls. This will be my third group. Every single group has been really fantastic and transformative for all of the people involved. So if you're not already on the newsletter list, go ahead to momstrugglingwell.com and sign up for that. And you will be one of the first ones to know about the registration that gets open for that, because it usually sells out in just a couple days. Okay, so I have been bringing my sister on to talk about purchases made with the Amazon affiliate link for the show. If you want to support the show at no cost to you, it would be so helpful if when you go to Amazon, you first go to amazon.com/shop/momstrugglingwell. You'll find there on the landing page items that I'm adding that I talk about that I love, books that are featured on the show. And so at no cost to you, Amazon will give some money back to the show when you use that site. So anyway, my sister is going to talk to me about something that she found interesting, purchase with the show's affiliate link this week. So what did you love that was bought using the show's affiliate link this week?
I'm going to have to stop you again. I don't know that I love this.
Okay.
Should we start again?
No. What was your item that you wanted to talk about?
Okay, here we
go. What do you hate?
Here's what I hate. So this looks regular. Dr. Jart. It's a...
I don't like that name.
Which is a bad name. It's a mask that's supposed to help with acne.
Okay.
That's regular.
Okay.
Amazon reviewer. Not happy. Fake mask. Do not buy.
If it's a mask, it's not fake. How do you have a fake mask?
No. That was just the title. So here we go. Fake mask. I have been using this brand for years, and I can tell this mask is definitely fake. Terrible mask ever! Exclamation point.
Terrible mask ever?
Yeah.
Terrible mask ever. Yeah. She's been using Dr. Jart for years.
He's the guy.
Okay.
Yep. That's it.
Terrible mask ever. Okay, ladies, let me go ahead and pray for us. God, I feel so thankful that you are a God who is not afraid of our questions. You welcome them. You want to know our hearts and you want us to come to you. And questions are a great way to do that. Thank you that you are not too important to answer them, but that you bend low and you give us your attention and you want to hear our thoughts. I pray this week that these sweet women would tell you their ideas, their concerns, their hopes. I pray that they would ask you their honest questions and sit with you in the things that just aren't sitting right with them. I just want to praise you and thank you for the ways that you draw us to yourself, even through things like Ouija boards and tarot cards. Thank you that none of us are outside of your reach. Thank you that your heart is for drawing us all back in to your embrace. You're better to us than we even can begin to imagine. I pray that we would start to rest in that more than ever this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.